This week, the national Do Not Call list went into effect, sort of. Chairman of the Federal Communications Commission, Michael Powell, said the agency would begin to enforce the list to protect those Americans who don't wish to answer telephone calls from telemarketers. But the FCC doesn't, as yet, have access to any of the 51 million phone numbers on that list. Late last week, a federal judge in Denver ruled that the registry violated the free speech rights of telemarketers. Americans demonstrably dislike telemarketing, almost as much as they dislike junk mail, automated phone systems, and the best of Yanni albums is the worst of everyday nuisances. But if millions of Americans dislike telemarketing so much, what makes telemarketing so valuable? Joining us is Wendy Melillo, Washington Bureau Chief for Adweek Magazine. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
People detest it. Why do people make money doing it?
Because people buy.
So they complain Americans, about it, but they still buy.
Absolutely. Americans respond to telemarketing calls. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is there was a survey done last year by the Information Policy Institute, which found that 8 out of 10 respondents said they had bought a product, contributed to a charity, or made a political donation in the past 12 months.
So there's money to be made.
Absolutely. It's a $667 billion industry.
How do you, and I know you're not a psychiatrist, and we might need to address this to a psychiatrist to be absolutely analytical about it, but how do you account for the fact that people so routinely denounce telemarketing and yet apparently so routinely do business with telemarketers?
People will respond to calls for products and services that they're interested in, mm-hmm. and that's the key. What is annoying is the calls that you are not interested in.
Explain to us, if you can, the economics from a telemarketer's point of view. How many cold calls, as they're called in the business, calls that nobody is expecting, do they have to make to begin to make it worthwhile to them?
Oh, I think they could probably make just a minimum of 10 to 20 calls, and they will get a response. Based on the Information Policy Institute's figures, 5 out of 10 people are buying something.
Mm-hmm. And the cost of phone calls, obviously, is relatively cheap.
Correct.
And these are not highly paid employees that are making the calls.
No.
Are you sometimes surprised at the kinds of companies that use telemarketing?
No.
No, okay.
Not really. I mean, magazines and newspaper subscriptions are the number one thing that people, mm-hmm. Americans, respond to. And those are very legitimate businesses. Our politicians use it, you know, at election time. Nonprofits and charities.
Let me ask you about nonprofits, because there's some controversy attached to that. And we have to note that, in fact, public radio stations across the country are among the people that use a telemarketing strategy. What do they find about a response rate?
Well, what's interesting is, as part of the FTC's Do Not Call registry, nonprofits and charities are exempt, so they can still call your house. And it's a very effective way to do business. What's making things so difficult, I think, for consumers is the actual number of exceptions that exist. Nonprofits and charities, all political candidates, insurance companies, banks, because that's not under the Federal Trade Commission's jurisdiction. And the real interesting exception is if you have done business with a company in the past 18 months, if you have purchased a product or leased something, they can still call you.
How potentially big a financial sacrifice might it be for some of the commercial companies that are used to doing business this way? Do they have alternative plans?
There are a number of things they can do. For example, direct marketing through mail and the exemption that I just mentioned about the 18-month rule. The only thing they have to do is get a telephone number from somebody, and they can continue conducting their telemarketing calls for the next 18 months to that same household. The exceptions allow loopholes to exist. So there are ways to still pursue the business.
Wendy Melillo, who's Washington Bureau Chief for Adweek Magazine. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.